This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
This morning, it's a great privilege to share this last Sunday with you. Right? It's the last Sunday of 2018. It's unbelievable. Can't believe it. Here we are at the end of 2018. Another year is come and another year is gone. And I'm going to ask us to please bring your chairs. I'm going to sit here in this chair. I'm way too far away from you. Come closer, please. Let's change things up a bit. Can you please get up from where you are? We're going to sit in a little circle. So let's move a little bit closer. It is a bit better. Yes, this is a lot better. Hallelujah. This is great. Warm welcome also to Yakuin Lee. Thank you for visiting us this morning. Yakuin Lee passes there in Centurion. Century City Centurion. It's a big other place, ne? Centurion as Century City, different parts of our country. But guys, yeah, it's amazing. And I'm going to use the mic just for the recording. Otherwise, I would have done without the mic. But it's amazing to think that we're at the end of a year, 2018, and a year has come and a year has gone. And I think all of us can agree that it's not been a year without its fair share of challenges. And maybe for some of us, if we think back to the beginning of 2018, the challenges maybe weren't as big. You got through the challenges quicker than what you thought, easier than you thought. And maybe for some of us, the challenges were bigger than what we had thought. But the reality is that we've made it. Amen? We've made it. The grace of God has carried us. And as we look back on 2018, we've got testimonies. We've got things that we know God has done for us that we would not have been able to do on our own. And I'm going to share a little bit with you guys around what I feel is a very important foundation for us just to lay as we get into 2019. And sort of it was kick-started last night as I was preparing and I was on my face lying before the Lord watching the soccer between Liverpool and Arsenal and interceding and travailing for Liverpool because after 10 minutes we were behind 1-0. Against Arsenal, and for those of you guys who don't know, Liverpool is top of the Premier League at this present moment. Sorry, Jono, all the Manchester City fans, and it's been almost 20 years, if not longer, that we've last won the Premier League. So, forgive the excitement amongst Liverpool fans that something tremendous might happen this year, but. 1-0, we're heading into the new year, the top of the league, and we've been at the top of the league a couple of years ago as well. We lost that lead and we squandered the lead. And so up against Arsenal and sort of deja vu, 10 minutes, 1-0, like, oh no, yes, like it, maybe I shouldn't have gotten my hopes up. Maybe, don't expect anything when you don't get disappointed. But I'm a Liverpool fan, die hard. Every year, I think this year is going to be different. This year we're going to make it. This year we're going to win. And lo and behold, so the guys came from behind. 1-0 for Arsenal became 1-1 for Liverpool. 1-1, and then it's 2-1, 3-1, 4-1, 5-1. Can you believe it? Yes, Carol, 5-1. It was amazing. So it's like such an emotional roller coaster, up and down. And at one stage, the commentator sort of towards the end of the first half, he says, "In this place, Anfield has erupted into a circus of joy." Like, yes, like it. That's such a beautiful way of putting it, into a circus of joy. And then you've got like, I don't know how many people that stadium can take, 40,000, 50,000, maybe even more. And you see all of those people worshiping. You hear them singing, "Never Walk Alone." You hear them singing Jurgen Klopp's name, and because he's the savior, he's coming in there, and he's the guy that's going to deliver the title. For the first time in 20 years, Liverpool is going to be champions of the Premier League again, we hope. But there's excitement, there's faith, and then something happens. We hear that Tottenham Hotspurs, they've actually lost as well because they were the guys closest to Liverpool. So now the roar goes up. Yeah! This roar goes up because their enemy has been defeated. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, man, that's a little bit like what church should be like. A circus of joy. Why? Because our champion has won. He has delivered the ultimate cup. He has delivered the ultimate victory, not just the first time in 20 years, but for all of eternity. And I'm looking at those people, and they're standing there, and they're singing, and it's like, you know, the sound goes from one part of the stadium right through to the other, and it's electric. And I wasn't even there, I was just watching on the telly. But I could feel it, the goosebumps and everything. You know, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, isn't that a reflection, maybe the great cloud of witnesses that Hebrews speaks about? A great cloud of witnesses that is because we are surrounded by such an amazing crowd of witnesses. Let us lay aside the sin, the weight, all of those things that easily ensnare us, and let us be focused on Jesus. And then I was thinking about, wow, you know, for so many people, and as the commentator said as well, that is joy, isn't it? I mean, that is maybe for most of those Englishmen there, that's the pinnacle of their joy. That's the highlight of their year. Many guys are planning on taking the month of May off to celebrate the victory. I mean, that is the highlight, maybe for some of them, not even just of their year, but for some of them, maybe of the last 10 years. Maybe for some of them, it's going to be the highlight. The Liverpool guys are going to be talking about this for the next, if they win, of course, for the next 20 years. But they base their hope and their joy around that soccer match. And then you wonder, you know, maybe it makes sense then why sometimes when the guys lose, they would vandalize a bus or they would throw chairs at one another. Why? Because their joy was shattered. Their hopes were shattered. And I'm thinking about that joy, and I'm thinking, man, the world has got something there, but even as they have that is just fleeting, isn't it? It's just fleeting. It's probably more than joy. It's happiness rooted in external circumstances. And we've got the real deal as a church, don't we? We've got the real deal. And I was just thinking about this beautiful song that we sing, that it's, you know, Christmas time. This beautiful hymn, Joy to the World. Joy to the World. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world. And I'm looking at those thousands of people in that stadium, and I'm seeing that they are finding their joy in a soccer match. And it's the highlight of their week, of their year. And I'm thinking the Anfield crowd isn't the only crowd that's finding their joy in somewhere outside of Christ. It happens all around us. And for some of us, we find the joy in going to the beach. Well, probably not Clifton today. You're not going to find too much joy if you go there. You know, but it's that holiday. It's that breakthrough. It's that Christmas present. It's that thing, everything except Christ. Why? Because the devil has managed to shift our joy. He's managed to shift our focus of joy, and he's managed to shift joy right out of the church, so much so that there's a greater chance for unbelievers very often to find joy outside of the church than inside of the church. And I believe that God is wanting to come and anoint us as his people with a spirit of joy again. He's wanting to anoint us with a spirit of joy that goes beyond happiness, because happiness is rooted in that once-off trophy. And then you're like Andre Agassi, and the next morning he finds himself lying naked on the lawn in front of his hotel, depressed because he's won Wimbledon now, but he's worked for this his entire life. His dad has driven it into him from the age of 5 years old, and now he's won it, and now what? He's depressed, he's broken, because this thing that he sacrificed so much for, he's achieved it, and yet it leaves him empty. And joy to the world, the joy that Christ gives, is the only joy that doesn't wake you up the next morning with a babalas, doesn't wake you up the next morning with a hangover, with a disappointment. It's the only joy that increases. That it's not like, I've had the privilege of doing a couple of weddings this holiday. And an amazing thing about a Christian marriage is that the wedding, as amazing as it is, isn't the ultimate of your life. It's not the ultimate. It's incredible. It's beautiful. It's amazing. But it's only the beginning of your joy. And for some people, it's like they look back at those wedding pictures and it's like, wow, that was amazing. That was the best day of our life. It was the ultimate. But the thing of joy in Christ is he takes us from joy to joy. He takes us from strength to strength, from glory to glory. And that's the hope that we have. That we don't have to live from trophy to trophy, from one breakthrough to the next, but we have, as this chorus says, the Lord is come. Let earth receive a king. And I believe that the God is wanting to come to the world again with joy. Because if you look at the newspapers and if you look at what's going on around us, that really people are having to escape into a soccer match. Because you leave that soccer match and you're back to the terrorism if you're in the UK. You're back to the onslaught of the family brokenness. You're back to the racism, not just in South Africa. I mean, just watching that soccer match, huge billboards speaking about how racism is evil. And that's in London. You know, so in South Africa, we're facing a lot of problems, but those things are universal. Why? Because the world is bankrupt. The world doesn't have the answers. But Christ has the answer, and he has given that answer to the church. And I believe that there's an onus, a responsibility, a privilege upon us as believers to present that answer to the world through our love for one another, but also through the joy that he's given us. And I believe it's time for us to take our joy back. I refuse to be happier around a soccer match than around what Christ is doing. Joy to the world, that the last part of that verse, the chorus, says, joy to the world, now we sing. Let the earth sing, let the earth proclaim, heaven and earth proclaim, but it ends with joy to the world, now we sing. There's an element of the joy that needs to be imparted to the world that will not be imparted to the world unless we sing. Unless we take it, unless we live it. Joy to the world. Yes, Christ has come. The joy is there. It's a gift. But now we sing. Now we, as this group of people, we sing. Yeah, 30th of December 2018, we sing. The shepherds stood amazed and the angels sang many, many years ago. And it's incredible how at the end of a year, many cultures and many people have different ways of celebrating New Year's and going into New Year. But you know, it's 2019. Why is it 2019 and not 5,000 or anything? Because it's 2019, it's 2020 years almost since Christ came. That's why. He's came to change everything. How will we enter into this year? I believe how we finish a year determines how we enter it as well. And I believe that with all of my heart that God is wanting to restore joy to us. Joy to the world, now we sing. Let the earth receive her king. Joy to the world, now we sing. Let the angel voices sing. Let the angel voices ring. Joy to the world, now we sing. Let men their songs employ. I love this. It's the image of let men their songs, let them write their songs, let them construct their songs, let them use their songs, let them declare their songs, let them employ their songs. And yes, my appeal to us is to understand that singing is more than just singing. We're not just talking here about what we're doing here in church. Let's employ our songs. Let's do whatever we do as worship unto God to carry joy into our world. Joy to the world, now we sing. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. I believe there's a sound, saints, that God has given us access to. But we're not tapping into that sound. It's a sound of joy. It's a supernatural sound. It's not a happiness sound. It's not rooted in things in the natural. It's a supernatural sound. I'm challenged by this couple that we know, Hanre and Mezen Farena. Some of you might know them. Their little boy, Aziel, earlier in the year, 2018, fell into the swimming pool. He was there for 10, 15 minutes. He was there for a long time. And brain dead and everything. And the Lord resurrected him, but it's been a year's journey of recovery for him. Ups and downs, tremendous trauma. The brain damage has been immense. But slowly but surely, he's getting stronger and stronger. And that couple's joy is just out of this world. I mean, she's one of the people that would send me messages of encouragement. I'm thinking, you're sending me messages of encouragement. You, in your hurt, in your pain, you're praying for me and encouraging me. What is that? That is joy. That is joy that goes beyond the happiness of everything being okay. Everything isn't okay in the natural. Huge changes they have to make as a family. They have to navigate through the human emotions of self-blame and all of those things. If only we'd be more vigilant, if only this, if only that. They have to navigate through that. So Christian joy isn't hypocritical denialism. It isn't you put your head in the sand. It is overcoming joy. It is something supernatural that we can tap into, that God has given us access to. It is made available to us to say, in spite of our circumstances, we will have joy. Because we understand the King has come. And we make room in our hearts. Let's make room in our hearts for His joy. And guys, I believe that some of us, we need to, as the song says, let every heart prepare Him room. I feel that God is saying to us, let's prepare room for His joy. Let's prepare room for His supernatural joy to flood our hearts. It's more amazing, it's more incredible, it's more sustaining, it is more overcoming than we could ever possibly think. And I believe He's wanting to give us new tastes of that, new dimensions of that joy that we need. Here's this beautiful verse in Revelation 4, verse 11. It's from the King James Version, right? So it's the old King James, but together with the New Living Translation, it says it the best. Sometimes it helps us reading a verse in another translation that you normally read it to, because it gives you a fresh perspective. So Revelation 4, verse 11, it's in the middle of a massive worship service with tons of thousands of angels and saints and people from every tribe and nation and tongue. And they're crying out, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." And again, as I'm seeing this, my frame of reference is that Anfield crowd singing with one voice. It's going to be even more incredible than that. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." That's fascinating. Most translations translate that word, their pleasure, as Thy will. God's will entails His pleasure and His purpose. It says that Thou hast created all things. Think about your life. Think about 2019. Think about all the dimensions of your life. It says God has created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. So we have been created for God's pleasure. As those 11 soccer players give joy to the thousands of worshiping fans, and that's a picture for me of joy, of pleasure. Think about it. God created us with 5 senses. 6 for women, 5 for us as men. If you have the Holy Spirit, as guys, you can catch up with the ladies. But 5, not just one sense, but 5 senses. You know, this amazing God created us in His image with 5 senses. I mean, you just think about your tongue. How many different sounds, tastes can your tongue assimilate and taste and incorporate? Nikki and I, we went to Ruben's the other day for our anniversary there in Franschhoek. And then you order food, and I order like a steak. And then it comes in these little slivers. You know, so my first sense was, yeah, just incredible disappointment. You know, it's like, is this what I'm paying so much money for? But then you take a bite, and it's like your taste buds get assaulted with like different tastes from all sorts of different things and flavors. The smallest little bit of sauce on that, everything has been thought through. And it's like an overwhelming experience. I'm thinking how incredible that God has created us as human beings, just your sense of taste. I mean, He could have just created us with 1 or 2, you know, likes. And we would have survived. But He gives us senses. Gives us sight to enjoy sunrise and a sunset, to look at something and to see it as beautiful. He gives us ears to hear different kinds of music. Driving up to Beaufort West and back from Beaufort West, we've been listening to The Greatest Show. This is The Greatest Show. What's the thing called, Annika? The Greatest Show. The Greatest Show, man. Just the soundtrack. My girls love. We've been listening to it over and over and over again. Can sing most of the songs now with Him. The sounds that they enjoy. We enjoy different sounds. You enjoy different sounds. None of us are the same in what we enjoy. The amazing sounds. I don't know how many of you enjoy the sound of the harida. Not few of you. Maybe there might be someone here. But you know, like different birds and different music, from the organ to the violin to the electric guitar. I mean, just so diverse. Why on earth would God do that? Because He is like that. We've been created in His image. He's a God who enjoys life, who enjoys pleasure. It says that He has created all things for His pleasure. He loves what He sees. He loves what He hears. He I don't know if there are tastes in the spirit, but Jesus, when He was on earth, He loved eating. Jesus loved different foods. It's amazing. I'm thinking that, you know, sometimes we get into church and what the devil does, he pushes the joy right out of our lives. And God, I believe, is wanting to restore our senses to understand the privilege, the honor of enjoying life. We have been created for God's pleasure. And so for 2019, know this, that you have been created for God's pleasure. He has created you because He enjoys you. There's this beautiful verse in Psalm 147, verse 10 to 11. It says that God's pleasure, right? We hear that it says that we've been created for His pleasure. And then He says, God's pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor His delight in the legs of the warrior. So He's created the horse. Of course, we know that He loves horses. He's created them beautifully and powerfully, magnificent creatures. And He trains our hands for warfare. It says God doesn't delight in that horse, and He doesn't delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights. The Lord finds pleasure. The Lord, if you were to think of God getting excited over a goal being scored, what would get God jumping off His chair? Say, yes, that the whole heavens reverberate and the angels fall off their planets because God gave a shout. You know, we don't think of God like that, do we? When we think of delighting. But the scripture says that God shouts and He delights and He dances over us and says that the Lord delights. Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, they high-five one another. They embrace one another. They throw a comet into the sky to just display joy. Fireworks are going off in heaven. When those who fear God put their hope in His unfailing love. The Lord delights in those who fear Him, in those who put their hope in His unfailing love. And I believe that God is preparing a people who, in the midst of challenging circumstances, will put their hope not in the strength of the horse, not in the delight in the legs of the warrior, not in the size of the bank balances, not in the cars, not in the degrees, not in the experiences, but who delight in the Lord. I believe God is preparing a people who will not go for comfort, who will not be content simply with circumstances, but who will go for joy. Who will put their trust in God. And I believe the world is hungry for such a people. You know, for a long time we've been saying that, you know, if God's people can prosper, then other people will look at that and they will say, oh, that's amazing, God. But you know, people don't really rejoice when you rejoice because it's going well with you. There's something supernatural, I believe, something attractive when we can rejoice in circumstances that are not always happy, that don't always make sense, when we can rise above those circumstances. And you can't do it in your own strength. You need something supernatural, because human beings don't have it in us to find joy in things that are not normally joyful. Look at what Psalm 37 verse 4 says. It says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. I think there's a verse that all of us have grown up with. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. I sometimes think, you know, that modern day interpretation of that is that God give us the desires of our heart and we might delight in You for a while. We've turned that around, haven't we? We'll stand in faith and we'll be ernstig and serious. And when He gives us the desire of our hearts, then we'll delight in Him. But that's not what it says, eh? It says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. But somehow the devil has subtly managed to shift our focus to the desires of our heart. And the desires of our heart determines our delight. Whereas our delight should determine our desires. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in Him. If you backtrack a little bit, the Amplified says this, and this is where I believe God is wanting to just come and impart into us some supernatural abilities this morning. Psalm 37 verse 1 says, now remember verse 1 to 2 comes before verse 4, all right? So where it says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. The context is He starts off and He says, do not worry about evildoers. All right, so don't fret, don't worry, don't obsess over evildoers, nor be envious towards wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the herb. But when we worry, when we are envious, we elevate those people, obviously, don't we? As if they're going to be around forever. We elevate that problem as if that problem is eternal. We elevate that person that challenges us, that gives us something that makes it difficult for us, as if, let's take the classic example, Clifton. Let's use Clifton. You know, thousands of people are up in arms from both sides of the coin. There's a Facebook post yesterday they put in News 24 about, if you guys don't know Clifton, beautiful beach, one of our prime tourist attractions in our country. Many people are coming from all over the country and all over the world to come to Clifton. And there's an incident earlier this week where a private security company chased a few people off the beach. Most of them haven't been black. And now it's a huge uproar, of course, as to why that happened, racism, all of those things. And now you've got political parties jumping on the bandwagon. We're going to reclaim Clifton. We're going to rename it. And we're going to sacrifice things there on the beach to ask the ancestors to heal our land from racism. And you've got the ANC, the EFF. Everybody is now wanting to get some mileage out of this thing. Okay, so there's this tension, and this thing is a beach is now not a beach anymore. It's contentious. It represents pain on the one hand and anger on the other hand, and misunderstanding right in the middle of all of that. And that's just a microcosm of a much bigger problem. And yesterday on News 24, there's a Facebook post of a gentleman who calls himself a Bulls supporter and a committed Christian on his Facebook post, and then says about how this is so typical about the K-word people. You know, committed Christian, he says he is. And now that thing is running all over the media again. And that's the reality in which we find ourselves. We don't want to get away from it. Those things are with us, and they're probably going to be with us for a long time still. That's the reality for us in South Africa. And yet, in the midst of Clifton Beach, in the midst of that man's Facebook post, in the midst of the heartache and the pain on our farms and in our townships, in the midst of all of that, joy to the world has come. Joy to the world has come. But that joy has to manifest. And what the devil wants to do is he wants us to be focused on the evildoers. Focus on the guys burning down things. Focus on the racists. Focus on the greedy people. As if they are going to be around forever. As if they are going to determine our lives forever. I'm going to speak bluntly. Racists have come and racists have gone. Christ remains forever. Christ is the healer. He has turned situations around that seem to be impossible. You take that Facebook post and then there's another Facebook post a couple of weeks ago. Don't know how many of you saw. I posted in our leaders group. A young black man is driving through the Free State. Buddha country, if ever there was one. His car breaks down. His bucky breaks down. Two old Buddha umis, farmers, stop, help him to fix his tire. Can't get the spare off. They drive, I don't know how many kilometers to some other town to get him a new tire, drive back to have him fix his tire. And he puts a Facebook post and he says, our nation is healed because of what these two umis did. A young black man calling two big Afrikaans-speaking farmers, What is that? That is joy to the world. there is somebody taking worship out onto Facebook. There is someone that is looking at an environment that is toxic and understanding. It's our responsibility to sing our songs. It's our responsibility. But you won't sing that song if you are worrying and if you are envious about the very real things that are going on around us. It's easy to worry. It's easy to be envious. But tyrants and business typhoons have come and they've gone. Christ remains. Never changes. They will wither quickly like the grass and they will fade like the green herb. Church, I believe God is wanting to restore our perspective on what is truly eternal, what truly determines our lives. The politicians don't. The massive media companies don't. The massive businesses don't. As powerful as business is, it's not the most powerful. Sometimes we elevate business to the most powerful thing there is. It's not. Christ is. His Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is. Ask Steinhoff if you want to know about how quickly things can come and go. But God's kingdom advances, never fades, grows stronger and stronger. Verse 3 says, trust, rely on, and have confidence in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land, and here's the beauty, feed securely on His faithfulness. I want to urge us to consider how we are feeding ourselves. Because how we feed ourselves determines our joy. And how we feed ourselves will probably be the biggest difference between us and the world. How we feed ourselves. Worry and envy have to bow before the joy of the Lord. So delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. The pretext to that is don't worry. And how do you break free from worry and from envy? If ever there was strongholds in a beautiful town and an environment like this, with all the financial, physical prosperity that this town has, there's so much worry and there's so much envy. I speak to so many people that have so much and yet they live in so much fear. And there's so much competition. And I speak to pastors quite a lot nowadays, and there's something beautiful happening in the body of Christ that excites me so much. God is breaking down the walls of envy between churches. It's just being broken, it's being smashed supernaturally where churches can enjoy one another and not be in competition with one another. It is amazing. I believe it's a sign of revival that's about to come upon us. But I believe that God is wanting to rid us from worry and envy. How? By blessing us with supernatural joy. If you're struggling with worry, if you're struggling with envy, get into the joy of the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Dwell in the land, says do good. Right, let's do our work well, 2019. If we are students, school leader, kom ons leer goed, kom ons wees gefocus. Let's be respectful. Let's do what we can do to make a difference. Let's do good in the land. But we can't just do good and not fear in God's faithfulness. If we just do good, and that's often what we as believers, the trap we fall into, we just do good, but we do good without the joy of the Lord. It kills you. It becomes law. It becomes work. It tires you out. And then you're like, oh, we're doing so much, and yet there's no result. It's not going to change. Yes, your contribution is not going to make a difference unless it's anointed by God. Delight yourself in the Lord. Feed securely on His faithfulness. We went both to the west in the midst of the drought there. They turned the water off around 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the evening and then switch it back on the next morning. It's dry. But God was so good to us. We were living on the street just next to Duncan Street, next to the main road. And on that street, there's a vein, underground vein. And there, the guest houses have water. There was a swimming pool. It's like you live in a different world. Kids are swimming, you can drink water, it's incredible. And yet, just a couple of streets next to you, there's a drought. I believe that there's underground well of strength, of joy that God has made available to us. And that is called the Holy Spirit. It's called the Holy Spirit. Us feeding on God's faithfulness in the midst of the drought. It's incredible. Kate Rose was baptized in Beaufort West in the midst of the drought. She was baptized in this pool where there's like tons of water. And it was such a powerful testimony to us how God can provide. How He can, we were beforehand like, oh, we're having to go to Beaufort West and we're going there for my cousin's wedding. It's going to be, we're going there for the wedding. And then God blesses us with this amazing place with lots of water. And he says, Heinrich, this is what I want to do for you. This is what I want to do for you in the midst of drought, whether it's spiritual drought or financial, economic drought, there is a well that God has made available to us. And it was so incredible to be at her baptism. It's amazing. God challenged me two things. This wedding didn't start off with praise and worship. It wasn't your normal traditional shofar wedding, so to speak. And God began just to challenge me a little bit. And says that, you know, that community coming together and rejoicing and finding joy, they're not delighting that much in God the way that I think that they should. But you know what? God is delighting in them. God is enjoying them. That he is not as religious as I am. So they asked me to do the prayer for the food. And you know, just as I was thinking about it, the Lord challenged me. He says, Heinrich, I am here. I love weddings. I love people rejoicing in one another. I'm not as religious as you are. I don't need all of the things that you think I need before I can move. And he really challenged me on that. And I realized, but man, I'm getting religious around God. And there's joy that God is wanting to release in unexpected ways. And so with Kate beforehand, she's sharing with us why she's wanting to get baptized. And she wanted to be obedient to the Lord. And the Lord says we must self-bekeer and self-la-duip. And so she shares a testimony. And we're on the edge of the swimming pool. And whoops, the next moment she jumps into the pool. Dives into it. Can't wait to get baptized. I'm like, no, you've got to be dry before you get baptized first. And that's my first reaction. You know, this is like against convention. You know, you first get baptized, then you're fully wet. And she just dove in. And I'm like, there's joyful obedience. There is joy in obedience. And I believe that the Lord is wanting to bless us with a spirit of joy. Where we're not so hung up about doing all the things the right way. And believe me, doing things God's way is important. But God is a whole lot less stuck up on a lot of the things that we major on than what we think. Let's put our trust in God. Let's put our trust. He can move in ways, and we would think God can never use that person. He can never work through the EFF. That's probably the way we think. We're limiting him. God can start a revival right in the middle of the EFF. He can start a revival. He probably has born-again believers in the EFF. We don't want to think like that because it's so different. Let's not limit God. Let's not box him in. Let's feed on his faithfulness. He can do impossible things, saints. He can do impossible things. Let me wrap up for us. Psalm 37, verse 1 to 3. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. And so maybe some of us today, we just need to, if there's some worry and if there's some envy, let me just backtrack, that's weighing you down in 2018. Some people that have upset you, some stronghold, some things you think are limiting you, determining your future, boxing you in, determining your joy, determining how much money you can make, or determining whatever it is. Break with that. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in him. And you know, the way that I understand it is in this beautiful verse. He starts off and he says, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praises in the assembly of the faithful. O Israel, rejoice in your maker. O people of Jerusalem, exult in your king. Praise his name with dancing, accompanied by tambourine and harp. All right, so praising the Lord, singing new songs to him, dancing, it's completely scriptural. Just praise him. Some of us need to get our dancing shoes on and just start dancing again in our, maybe before you do it here, do it at home so you can get your confidence back up. You know, I'm glad that I was at a wedding and one of the ladies shared her list that she had and how God had given her her whole list. And it was amazing to see. My wife had a list as well, but I'm thankful that she didn't stick to everything that was on the list. Dancing, somebody with dancing shoes was on the list at one stage. But I'm glad that the Lord led it into greater truth, greater freedom, that wasn't as important. But 15 years later, we're dancing now. We're having fun dancing at some weddings. It's lekker. But there's dancing shoes that some of us have to dust off. And we need to dance our way into 2019. Practice at home. Rejoice in your maker. Exalt in your king. Praise his name with dancing. Some of you are anointed to dance. you need to seriously consider dusting off those shoes, bringing them to the Lord and saying, God, I'm wanting to dance even on those things that want to bring worry and anxiety. And verse 4 says, for, and this is the beautiful thing, for the Lord delights in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Let the faithful rejoice that he honors them. Let them sing for joy as they lie on their beds. Let us not just end 2018 with joy and begin 2019 with joy. Let's begin and end our days with joy. I believe that we need to make a decision, even here, as the people of God, to say that I will begin, I will end my day with joy. The scripture there says, let them sing for joy as they lie on their beds. Now, most of us sleep on beds, and so you probably go to sleep on a bed, and you would wake up on a bed. So you can claim it's scripture. It says, let them sing for joy as they lie on the beds. Sing yourself to sleep. So you wake up in the morning, trust God for a song. Sing on your bed to God. Start and end our days with joy. Then he goes on and he says, let the praises of God be in their mouths. Guys, joy and singing, it's more than just singing lovely songs. It's a powerful weapon of warfare. Let the praises of God be in their mouths and sharp in a sharp sword in their hands. The King James, a two-edged sword in their hands. Let the praises of God be in their mouths and a sharp sword in their hands. This is a picture of warfare. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind the kings with shackles and the leaders with iron chains. We know that within the New Testament context, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we are fighting against principalities and powers. There are things coming against our nation. There are spirits of racism, of greed, of exploitation, of bitterness, of hatred. There are those things. And scripture says that with the praises of God in our mouths and the word of God, we can bind those things. And I believe that the Lord is wanting to usher us into a kind of warfare that is not going to be heavy and only for a select few. It's going to be joyful warfare. It's going to be joyful warfare, warfare that's going to come out of us exalting in who God is. Not looking for a demon behind every bush and being all superstitious, but declaring who God is and rejoicing in that. Rejoicing God's promises over our nation, rejoicing God's promises over our physical bodies, over our families, over our budgets, over our callings, over our careers. Let the praises of God be in our mouths and the sharp sword in our hands. Some of you need to execute some vengeance upon your enemies. You've been fighting against some addictions, some spiritual things that have been coming against your family for generations even. You fight against those things. You execute vengeance upon them through the praises of God. Praise God with authority. Joy tears down strongholds. This is the glorious privilege of his faithful ones. Praise the Lord. In Psalm 63, verse 6 to 8 says, I lie awake thinking of you, O God, meditating on you through the night. Because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand holds me securely. I lie awake thinking of you. You know, this verse challenged me. Thinking back on 2018. And I thought about how many times I was lying awake. Oh, praise God, I don't lie awake that often. You can ask Nikki. Takes me a few seconds and I'm asleep. Challenge for her if she wants to have deep conversations with me. I put my head down and then I'm gone. But before I go to bed, and often when I do lie there, how often are my last thoughts of who God is? I lie awake thinking. He says, what's keeping me awake is thinking of you. You know, it's like when you're in love, you would lie there thinking, when can I see her again? What can I get her? Is there something about that? David says, I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night, he says. Because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you, your right hand holds me securely. Last night, Jonathan told me about this bird. What is it, a fool, Buddha? What is it, a fool? A swerfvalk. How fast is it? 389 kilometers per hour. A swerfvalk. That is crazily fast. Hey? What a tremendous bird. Now that bird was created by God, who gave him his speed. And David says here, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. God can come to our aid speedily, quickly. Mighty wings extended over us. But you need to meditate on him in order for you to understand the extension of those wings over you. Because those wings are there, as you shared with me at the wedding. I'm delighting in these people. I'm here, but they are unaware of me. But I'm here. The shadow of my wings are here. But not all of them here are aware of that shadow. How do we become aware of the shadow of God's wings? We become aware of it by meditating and thinking of him. Can somebody just double check that scripture reference there? If it's Psalm 63. Almost feels like it's a little bit later in the Psalms. Is it Psalm 63? Yes. Yeah. And Afrikaans sê dit so mooi. Psalms moet nie Psalm 2 wees nie, moet wees Psalms. Interessant, in Afrikaans is dit Psalms. In English it's Psalm. So it's Psalm 63 en Psalms 36. En ook, julle sal ook oplet, die Afrikaanse Psalms is een vers laar af as die Engels. Right? So the English would be Psalm 63 verse 6 en Afrikaans would be Psalms 63 vers 7. As ek op my bed lê, so patience, I'm just reading in Afrikaans, but I read in English, okay? As ek op my bed lê en aan u dink, oor u nadink, and ek gaan 'n treetjie verder. In English says, I think of you and then I meditate. It says, as ek op my bed lê en aan u dink, hy gaan verder en hy sê, ek dink nie net aan die Here, skiet gebedjie. Sê, as ek op my bed lê en aan u dink, oor u nadink, so mooi Afrikaanse woord, nee? Nadink, weer dink. Ek dink, en dan dink ek weer. I think, and then I think again, and then I think again, and then I think again. I know none of you guys, you watch series on Netflix and Showmax, but what those series do is they get into your brain. Before you know it, you think, and then you think, and then you think again upon what's going to happen in the next episode. It just gets into your brain. Worry does the same thing, doesn't it? It gets into your brain and then you think of this thing that might happen or might not happen and then you think on it again and then you think on it again and then you think on it again and again and again. David says, I've shifted. My joy comes from thinking of you and then thinking of you again. So ek sien so 'n bietjie van 'n dissipline daar. If we want to have the joy of God, a supernatural joy, that's an impartation I believe the Holy Spirit wants to give us. We can ask for it, we can receive it. One of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Paul says that the kingdom of God isn't eating and drinking, isn't in church buildings. The kingdom of God is in righteousness, right standing with God, peace that surpasses all understanding, and in joy in the Holy Ghost. It's like weird, if you think about it. The kingdom of God is in joy. So he says one of the ways people will see the kingdom of God, it's not necessarily through the church building, but it's through believers having joy in the Holy Ghost. No joy in the politicians, no joy in the bank balance, no joy in the marriage, no joy in the kids, but joy in the Holy Ghost. So the joy is generated and founded and fed by the Holy Ghost. Petrol price is dropping again, 1 rand or 2 rand in January. Whenever the petrol price used to go up, what would happen? Everybody, queues and queues of cars would get to the petrol station so you can fill up because the petrol price is going up. You need to get the best price and fill up. I believe that if the church of God would be rooted deeply in the supernatural of joy of God in the Holy Spirit, I believe people will queue to fill up. And the price has dropped drastically. I mean, how much do you have to pay for a ticket to Liverpool or to Wimbledon or to the Sevens or to wherever Tanga's closed down for a holiday that will give you that joy? For a fleeting moment. The price for eternal joy has been slashed. Just cost us surrender. Bring your tank. Say, Here, ek het u vreugde nodig. Temple stuff, it doesn't fill up. I'm going to fill up with your joy. As ek op my bed lê en aan u dink, oor u nadink in die nag, onthou ek hoe u my gehelp het. If we're not going to think, if we're not going to think again, we will not remember how God has helped us. And if we don't think again, and we won't remember. And if we won't remember, we will probably not sing. Kan jy die connection sien? Hy sê nie, hy begin nie met ek sing die skaduwee van die vleuels nie. Hy praat oor 'n klomp negatiewe goed, maar sê maar as ek op my bed lê, verlaat my bed and I think of God. And I think a lot of God. And I think of how God has helped me. Dan kom my lidwoord in daarso. Dan connection. Dan then I will sing in the shadow of your wings. I'm connected to you. Ek is aan U verbind. U regterhand hou my staande. Like amazing. Your right hand upholds me. We're going to need moments in, we're going to have moments in 2019, saints, where tsunami of things would want to wash us away into despair, into disillusionment, into giving up on our nation, giving up on one another, giving up on ourselves, giving up on God. What's going to safeguard us from that is the joy of the Lord. Have that joy. What's going to feed that joy, what's going to sustain that joy is what we meditate upon. You will probably not have a song to sing if you meditate on the report or on the Cape Times or News 24. I don't know how many of you were, can say that ek het op my bank gelê, my koerant gelees en toe wil ek sing van vreugde oor hoe goed die Here is. Reading your newspaper, thinking on what's in the newspaper or what is being spoken about around the bridesmaid's fire, unless it's sanctified conversation, probably don't lead to awesome praise and worship. What does? The discipline of meditating upon who God is. My prayer for us is that as we go into 2019, that we will think and think again what God has done for us in 2018. Feed ourselves. Tap into that joy and manifest that joy. I believe that God is wanting us to have some awesome parties in 2019. Ek glo die Here wil hê ons moet ons vreugde deel met die mense om ons. That we've got to trust God even to start smiling supernaturally at the cashier at the store. To trust God to lift up our spirits, to have a strength, because the joy of the Lord is what? Is our strength. Did you guys need strength in 2018? Do you think you're going to need strength in 2019? Then what do you need? Do you need strength? Or do you need joy? You need joy. So as jy nou moet iets moet toemaak en beskerm, agter slot en grendel moet sit vir 2019, something that you would say to the devil, devil, you're not getting this. This you're not getting. I think it probably needs to be your joy. Whatever happens, devil, you will not steal my joy, because if he steals your joy, he steals your strength. And how do you protect your joy? By meditating upon who God is and delighting yourself in the fact that God delights in you. My hello, baby. Elizabeth, hello, bye. I want to wrap up. I don't know whether I shared this with you. If I did, please forgive me. I'll share it again. But I went to Agape Christian Center in Grabouw a couple of weeks ago and met up with Titch from Live Village, the founding guy from Live Village. And he invited me to go along to this Agape Center up in Grabouw, where Gerard Kutsia, his wife Army, they have this, the center looks after orphans. And their kids are with us in church. Machtel is married to Gerard, and then Ilse, married to Ian Smith. They're with us here in church. And in 1994, 1996, they started this orphanage. Government didn't want to fund them. And they've got 34 kids now that they're looking after, one center, about 30 in a daycare center, 100 and odd that they have an ECD for, and 8 kids which they have adopted. It's pretty hardcore. Against all odds, government, community have said no. The wealthiest of the wealthy farmers in the Grabouw Valley, they don't want to give a cent. They want to be involved. Government said it can't work. But years later, things are working. The government has come to the party. They're busy funding. They shared with me the story about how social development came, and then health, the Department of Health came as well. I came to them, made an appointment with them. It was the 6th of June 2016. So like 666, they thought, yeah, this is probably going to be bad news. 666 sounds a bit devilish. And but these guys came from the department, and so it was 6th of June 2016. And they said, we didn't know what's going on, but somebody above us told us we must fund you. And then the other department came as well and said, you guys haven't even put in an application. We've got tons of applications, but we just got instructed that we need to fund you. Like, wow. That's amazing. God provided for them. And then I go there, and I get out of the car, and Gerard says, "Wow, Heinrich, sit jy, ek wil net vir jou hierdie week kontak het." So the crazy thing was, they went up to Live Village a couple of weeks before that, met my brother at Live Village. My brother told them a story about where my dad grew up on this farm in Villiersdorp. Gerard knows about the farm, and so he was just like, "Wow, I got to meet this guy." And so he goes on a long weekend to Cederberge, some resort called Houdenbeck. Houdenbeck, yes. That's what it calls. It says the Lord spoke to him prophetically. He needs to be quiet a little bit. Houdenbeck. And so he walks around and he meets this guy, and he starts sharing with him the story that he heard a week ago. And he just so wants to meet this boy that grew up on that farm. So, big story. You guys all know this story about my dad grew up on this farm. This farm owner changed the whole system of farming from grapes to vineyards because of the DOP system. Didn't want anything to do with that. Through him, my dad got saved, and he sponsored my dad to study theology. So just a beautiful story of one person who made a difference in my family's life. And so Gerard so wants to meet this boy that grew up on that farm, and wants to meet his children. I'm obviously that boy's son. And so he meets this gentleman. He shares the story with him at Houdenbeck. And then that man looks at him and says, "But I'm that boy that grew up on that farm." So he meets my dad on that farm, like just like randomly. And so it's like, wow. So all he needs to do now, he needs to meet Heinrich, because he wants to speak to me about us praying for them and partnering with them. There I arrive on the farm. On the village, he didn't know I would arrive. And so he's in tears. He tells me this story. I'm in tears, all crying thing. But then he shows me around. And there's 34 kids that are looking after the orphans. Are orphans that they will never ever be able to one day change the world. Never ever be able one day to be released as leaders into the world. You know, get degrees and be sports champions, because they are all severely, physically, mentally handicapped. Severely. Some of them haven't gotten out of their beds in years. And they tell me about all of these kids, and they tell me that we're going to go, we're going to have a look at this place at the center. I'm like, whoa. Jesus, I don't know if I can do this. You know, to go into a place where you have those many broken bodies and broken minds, I don't know if my heart can handle that. But I go in there, and then there's this joy. There's broken bodies, there's broken minds, but there's this joy in this place. I don't know how many of you have been to centers like that. Normally you don't find joy there. You find extreme oppression, extreme brokenness. But there's joy in this place. And it's like the weirdest thing. The spiritual atmosphere is clean. And my heart just, the Lord is busy speaking to me. And I'm like, having to trust the Lord for him just to switch off my heart so I can just hear what these people are saying to me. Because it's like, I don't know how many of you have been through where your heart feels going to break with everything you're experiencing. And then I see Armin Gerard relating to these kids. And there's this one boy, 16 years old now. He came to them when he was 3. Parents threw him away. Can't speak, can't move a muscle except his eyes. And he's 16 now. And Army, they take us on the tour. And then he moves his eyes, and as she's walking past him, she sees him. And there are lots of other kids there, but she sees him moving his eyes, looking at her. She stops and she goes back to him. She kisses him on the mouth, looks him in the eye, and talks to him. Mommy loves you. You're amazing. Like, you're like a dog. It's amazing. And she delights in him, and there's nothing that he can do in return. And in that moment, God has dropped something into my heart about how God delights in us. He delights, and that little boy finds delight. You know, and there was his eyes lit up. There was something was happening around his mouth, gurgling sounds that came out. He was delighting in someone, delighting in him. So he's been changing his nappies for decades almost. Our joy comes not from us having to hype ourselves up. Our joy comes from someone that's finding joy in us. As weak as we are, as confused as we are, as we miss it so often, God delights in us. And I want to encourage you to find your joy in the fact that God finds joy in you. Even when you feel as helpless maybe as that boy did. Can't do anything. There's nothing I can do back, give you. Nothing I can give back to you. And yet you rejoice in me. Find your joy in the fact that he delights in you. Let me pray for us. God, I want to thank you, Lord, this morning, God, for the fact that we know that you've made available to us, Lord, a resource that is supernatural. A resource, Lord, that can transcend physical circumstances. A resource, Lord, that can transcend all the reports that we have in the newspapers around us. A resource, God, that is powerful to tear down strongholds of envy and greed and worry. And God, we come to you today, Lord. We are a small group here. But as representing, Lord God, our congregation and as representing, Father, your body, we come before you, Lord, and we want to fill up our tanks, Lord, on your supernatural, abundant joy that you have given us. The joy that comes, God, not in us being wonderful and being deserving, God, but comes from the fact that you have drawn near to us, that you delight in us, you have created us for your pleasure. Father, we come before you also in repentance, understanding that we have allowed the devil to move the object of our joy, to move the center of our joy, to move the center of our meditation, to move it away, God, from you. Life is found in you. Peace and joy is found in you. But Father, I bring before you our minds today, and I just have this picture in my spirit of some of our minds just being entangled, as if we have parts of our brains that have been almost hijacked by the devil. Thought patterns that have been established that we're struggling to break free from. And like that young boy, that teenager that was trapped in that physical body, but whose spirit was alive, so some of us, we're trapped in ways of thinking. And God is wanting to just open your eyes for you to see how much delight he has in you. There's someone here, and you didn't grow up with those loving eyes looking at you. You didn't grow up with people delighting in you just simply because you are you. And you struggle to relate to a God that delights in you without you having to work, without you having to do things the right way, even as I was challenged this holiday. And I want to pray for you. If you want to open up your heart for the, even before we get to the joy of the Lord, to manifest the joy, but if you want to fill up this morning, you want to fill up your car, your tank, on the knowledge, on the revelation, not head knowledge, but the revelation of how much God delights in you and that he has created you for his pleasure. Maybe there's some mixture, maybe there's some oil and diesel and petrol in your tank, all sorts of stuff that have been put in there. And you're moving, but you're not running on optimal capacity. And you need to come and fill up. the pure and the genuine, that which you could never buy, which you could never afford. Just ask the Lord, just there where you're sitting, Lord, just open my eyes. Open my eyes to see you delighting in me. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for the freedom and deliverance that you bring, God, this morning. The spirits of envy and of worry that have taken the hearts of your people captive. I thank you, God, for supernatural freedom this morning, God. A new dimension that you usher us into, Lord, to walk in joy. Supernatural joy, not just past feelings, Lord God. Fleeting feelings, but supernatural joy. The Lord is showing me that there's someone here, and you're going to be digging some wells in this week. Even though the next 2 days, you've made some plans even for tomorrow evening, and I just feel the Holy Spirit is wanting to open up a new door for you. That in the midst of your plans, that there's an hour that He's inviting you into for you to meditate, to think on God. To put on your dancing shoes, maybe to take off your shoes, to find a space. And I see you standing underneath this ethereal, just this vein that has popped, that has exploded. You're standing underneath this waterfall of God's delight. And Father, I come against that spirit of disqualification. I come against that spirit of legalism that are keeping some of us trapped here, not to experience your joy, not to experience your delight. And I thank you that you set us free, God, to delight in you, Lord, to find great joy in you. Thank you for a baptism of joy through your Holy Spirit, Lord, upon us, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you just want to bring your joy tank before the Lord, just want to raise your hand there, just there where you're sitting. I want to pray for you. Just raise your hand. Just fill me up, God. Just fill me up. Fill up my joy tank, oh God. Cleanse me, Lord, of that which I've allowed the devil to inject into my tank. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. The Lord is about to come to someone's aid here speedily, like that bird that swoops down and comes to your rescue speedily, but he wants you just to experience the shadow of his wings. Meditate on him. Think on him. Carve out some time for him. Just think on him. Take some of these verses that I've read for you, and just go and meditate upon them. You have been created for His pleasure. I just feel there's someone here with a word of knowledge, and you just need to share. There's someone here that has just a word that holds a key to someone's heart, to someone's mind here. So if you can pray in the Spirit, just open up your heart. Just pray now. Just ask the Holy Spirit to show you something you need to share. Thank you, Father. Van die kinders, julle is ook welkom om te kom deel met ons as Jesus iets in julle hart te sit.
I don't know if this is it, but this message is so powerful because everything Heinrich has preached this morning is what the Lord was saying to me yesterday when I had my quiet time, and I just sat outside writing and writing, and it was exactly about this, about dealing with all the negative emotions and the envy and the hurt and all those things. And I just felt the Lord saying to me, when we came back for a run, I just felt the Lord saying to me, those negative emotions are, the enemy uses it against you just to squash down your joy, just to squash down your hope, just to squash down the love. And he showed me a picture of almost, it was like waves coming over you. Everything, it's like a wave, and it just squashes you down into under the sea that you can't, and every time you come up for air to see the light, another wave of whether it's anything, hurt or rejection or fear, comes and it pushes you back under the water, under the wave. And that's what the enemy is trying to do, is to drown you in this negativity, drown you in this darkness. And it was the dark, it just kept you under. And that's what the Lord said, just keep coming up for air. But when you come up for air, look at me, keep your eyes fixed on me, keep your eyes fixed on the hope, keep your eyes in the Word, and just look at me. And eventually the waves will not be able to hit you. You will just come out of that, and you will just float, and you will just remain in the light. So it's just, again, this difference between the light and the dark. Keep your eyes fixed on the light. And what is the light? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's stay in the Word, stay, meditate on Scripture. And that's where the psalm comes in, is to meditate on the Scripture. It's to write it on the tablet of your heart. Keep it in your heart. Keep it in your heart. And the Lord gave me that verse in 2 Chronicles 10, verse 5. Take every thought, to the, and make it obedient to Christ. So it's about our thoughts. Is that our thoughts need to be brought back to Christ every time. It's every time that negative thought comes, which is the wave, bring it back to Christ, make it obedient unto Christ. So I don't know if that is the word. But
thank you, Jesus.
This morning, this is just the scripture that God gave me, and it so ties in with what Heinrich has been sharing. So I just want to share it. It's Psalm 30. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his, praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. And then especially this part, weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever.
Amen. We have a little one with a word as well this morning.
I just want to share testimony and a word as well. It was so awesome for me to hear this morning. We went on holiday, and the first day we were on holiday, my mom, that's almost 70, she fell from a cupboard and she tore a ligament and got a fracture. So that she needs a knee operation, which was sad for me because she would have been my help the holiday because Bernard was away. And the next day we walked up from the beach. It's a very reserved. And then my one child, Beulah, she was walking, and a meter and a half away from her, there was a massive puff adder. And then the next day, Bernard put Lisa in the cot, and he warmed up her tea, and when he came back, there was another snake with her in the cot. And every fear in me just went crazy, and that evening I couldn't sleep. I was just like, tomorrow I'm packing my bags and I'm going home. And the next morning I woke up and the fear was just gone. And then the one day we were worshiping as a family, and then God showed me this vision. I've never seen it before. I saw Jesus dancing extravagantly, but like full on. He was just like going forward. And I said to Bernard, it felt to me as if it was like a joyous dance, but God was doing warfare for me. And I just said, I felt for this year that God's going to, I see him dancing so extravagantly, and that's how he's going to make warfare for us. So I was so encouraged by this message today, just to dance with God. And yeah, and then in that place of his wings, we can take refuge. And then for the next 2 weeks in the holiday, we didn't see one more snake.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for for your protection. Hallelujah. Let's take authority this morning. I believe that God wants to just get practical. I want you to just to think about one thought that is maybe popping into your mind more often than not this year. Een gedachte, een ding wat gekom het en wat jou gedagte is, bietjie gevange gehou het. And as they've shared with us, the scripture commands us to take those thoughts captive. Bring them unto the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that means we name them. So we can wees in vrees, soos in van der Veense geval, vrees vir hy slang. So vrees, jy gaan my nie domineer nie. Bring jy voor die Here en ek onderwerp jou vanoggend. In die beskerming van die Here. Vir dat God is ons beskerming. He's our protector. He's the one that keeps us safe. I'll meditate upon the Lord's protection and His faithfulness. And so let's just take 1 minute. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to show you if there is a thought that has been keeping you awake or a thought that has really been bugging you. The Holy Spirit will show you. And then I'm going to pray a prayer for us. We'll take authority over that. And then we trust God. You know, they say it takes about 40 days to break a habit. I want to encourage you to, the next 40 days, be intentional. I really want to agree, feel that joy is more than just the comfort. The Lord is giving us joy as a weapon. For us to use a joyful weapon. So, Here, thank you that ons kan kom. We can get practical, God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, right now that you reveal to us that thought, Lord, that meditation that kept us awake. Lord, that one thing that really came to challenge our joy and our focus. Please show that to us now, Holy Spirit. I want you just to name that thought. Give me disappointment. The anger. The worry. Fear. Let's bring it before God. Father, I bring before you, just mention that under your breath, just mention what it is. And I thank you, God, that it is a thought that will pass away. It's a thought that will not remain eternal. It will be like the grass. Will wither, it will fade. Your name will remain forever. Your faithfulness will remain forever. Thank you, Father, that you delight over me, that you crown me with victory. And as your faithful one, I rejoice that you honor me with your presence. I commit my heart to sing for joy as I lie on my bed. May your joy spread through me to this world that is in desperate need of something real and authentic. Thank you, Lord, that you rewire our brains even. Give us new thought patterns. Fill us with that wonderful fruit. And the world will taste and see that our God is good. Thank you for a time like this where we can come together in simplicity, celebrate your presence, celebrate you speaking to us through one another. Thank you once again for your protection over all of our families, Lord. We pray the blood of Jesus over those still traveling and those in different destinations. Thank you that you bring us all back safely together, God. And as we exit 2018, we exit with thankfulness, gratefulness in our hearts, Lord. Expectation to see you be our reward. God, we look to you. Beyond all that we stand in faith for, we look to you and we thank you that you are great I am in our midst, that you give us life, life in abundance. Thank you, Lord, for healing. We can speak over everybody that is suffering from pain in this place right now, God. healing in Jesus' name. Peace for every mind, Lord, that is struggling to put coherent thoughts together. Hope, Father, for every soul that can't see a way out. Family, for every isolated heart. Comfort to those who have lost precious things. Thank you for your grace and the power of your word that's able to build us up and able to keep us faultless and blameless and present us before you with exceeding joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Baie dankie julle. Thank you so much. If you need prayer, love to pray with you. Welcome someone to grab somebody next to you as well. Ask them to pray with you. Maybe there's a thought that is actually more than just a passing thought. It's quite a stronghold. And you just need somebody to agree with you around that. We would love to pray with you. There's some tea and coffee, some cool drink in the foyer. Please join us for that. We're looking forward to seeing many of you back next week. If you are still traveling, still going on holiday, have fun. Baie welkom terug. Dankie ons besoekers. Dankie Elwoods that you came to visit us. And also, lovely to have the Jaco and Lee here. Amazing. Have an awesome Sunday, guys. Bless you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.